Let's stay with the topic of great power rivalries and preview the upcoming summit next week between Donald Trump and Xi Jinping in Beijing. The meeting was delayed, of course, because of the Iran war. And it comes at a time when the leaders of a lot of US allies have been beating a path to Beijing as relations with the Trump administration have frayed. Let's talk to Anna Fifield, the former Asia editor of the Washington Post and the author of Between Giants, a newsletter about the Asia Pacific on Substack. She's based now in New Zealand. Anna, thanks so much for joining us on ABC Radio National.
Good morning, Nick. It's great to be here.
Now, the last time Donald Trump visited China was in 2017. He got the red carpet treatment and the rare honour of a state dinner inside the Forbidden City. That was symbolic. And in return, Donald Trump lavished praise on President Xi. What sort of welcome do you think Donald Trump is going to get this time around?
Well, I think Xi Jinping will think it worked very well last time, and he'll be looking for some sort of repeat of that. Last time, as you said, he was hosted in the Forbidden City, the first time any foreign leader has been hosted by the Communist Party in this imperial palace. Lots of gold, lots of red carpet, and it worked a treat because, as the world knows, Donald Trump loves to be treated like an emperor. So there was that worked very, very well at the time for China. As you said, he lavished praise on him. So I expect them to do something similar, maybe even grander this year, to provide him with the perfect photo opportunity and to go back and show how beloved he is in the world. But also for Xi Jinping, it really feeds into his quest for to be the global statesman. So far this year, we've had the German, the Irish, the South Korean, British leaders going to Beijing. So he doesn't have to go anywhere. It really helps him, make him look like the leader of the world.
It's interesting you talk of those optics. It's interesting you talk of gold, of course, which is Donald Trump's great sort of bauble. Because, you know, for the past year or so, we've had these trade tensions between the US and China. A lot of listeners will be listening to that and think, well, that doesn't sound in keeping with the kind of music for the past year or so.
Yes, I think this is what we call the art of the deal, Nick. And that last year, yes, Trump launched this trade war with China as the number one target. Huge tariffs in triple digits for a period there, imposing a lot of restrictions. But that kind of backfired on him because China showed that it would not be cowed or would not resort to flattery and bargaining like so many other countries, and instead fought back with access to rare earths and critical minerals, which China has a stranglehold on these minerals, and the Americans really, really need them for cars and healthcare equipment and military equipment. So by weaponizing minerals, Xi Jinping was able to force Trump to back down. And so they agreed this uneasy truce at the end of last year, which they are now looking to solidify. But the fact is that Trump has launched this war against Iran and created chaos in the meantime. So he's going to Beijing with a much weaker hand than he might otherwise have expected because he really needs Xi Jinping's help now.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? You spoke there of the weaponization of global supply chains, which is exactly what Iran has done, of course, in the Strait of Hormuz. I wonder how the war with Iran has disrupted the kind of framing of these talks and even given China an edge.
Yeah, well, it's very much disrupted them because they were meant to have happened in the middle of March and they were delayed as a result of the Iran war. As things stand today, who knows what things will look like tomorrow, but Trump will be going to Beijing with the war continuing. So this whole misadventure in Iran has backfired on Trump, has caused global economic chaos, and he is now in the position where he really needs Xi Jinping's help to bring about an end to this. So we've seen this over the past week in the way that the Treasury Secretary and Trump himself have urged Beijing to come in and, use their considerable influence over Iran. By the same token, the Iranian foreign minister has been in Beijing meeting with his Chinese counterpart this week. So I think until now, China has been relatively happy to sit on the sidelines and allow the United States to make a mess and diminish its standing in the world. And now it probably sees an opportunity to to come in and help broker an end to this situation. And they do have influence over Iran, as we saw when they prodded the Iranians to attend that first round of ceasefire talks in Pakistan.
As you say, China has been applying what I think should be called the Bonaparte doctrine. Don't interrupt your enemy while they're making a mistake. Those words attributed to Napoleon, of course. There has been the fear that an ongoing war would damage them. But, you know, a big sort of, we were talking there with Thomas Wright about the big global rivalries in the world right now. Do you see this as a kind of inflection point or even something bigger, that the Iran war has underscored the decline of the United States and the need that China, the need that the Trump administration now has for Beijing to actually help resolve this thing has sort of underscored their rise?
Yes, I definitely think that that's how these countries are seeing it. There is this kind of loose alliance that is sometimes called CRINC, which is China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And these four countries, they don't share an ideology, but they all want to kind of diminish the Western order and destabilize the global order. And they have found a lot of opportunities to cooperate during the war against Ukraine and now against the war in Iran. So it does feel like an inflection point where these countries with their autocratic leaders can band together, supporting each other diplomatically, economically, militarily to destabilize the order and, yes, enforce the Bonaparte doctrine and just undermine the US's diminished standing under Trump.
And Anna, a quick final word on the T word, Taiwan. How big a deal is that going to be at this summit?
Well, I think the Taiwanese will be very, very nervous about this summit because you can bet Xi Jinping will be bringing this up. He really wants to advance his claim to the democratic island of Taiwan, which has never been ruled by the Communist Party. And Trump, you know, he doesn't have much regard for territorial integrity, as we've seen with Ukraine. He could be willing to offer some support to Beijing in return for a bigger, grander trade deal. So I think that the Taiwanese will be nervous that he might just kind of go in guns blazing and who knows what he might say. But I think they will be concentrating on trade and Iran. So maybe for the Taiwanese, nothing is better than something.
Anna Fifield, the former Asia editor for The Washington Post and the author of the excellent Substack, Between Giants. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you, Nick.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.